Hey everyone, welcome to the show. Have you ever felt like you were practically born to follow in someone else's footsteps? You know, you just slip right into their shoes, but those shoes, they don't quite fit right. Today, we're doing a deep dive into Caitlin Devlin's Born for This. It's a psychological drama, really twisty, and it's about family secrets and fame's dark side. You can find a link to the book in the description below. We're going to unpack ambition, family ties that get complicated, and the price of fame. So be sure to hit that like button and subscribe for more deep dives.
It's late.
The book centers on Harley, this young actress who's trying to make it in Hollywood, and her aunt, Rachel Carmichael, who is a reclusive former star. Their lives get all tangled up when Harley gets involved in a film adaptation of a memoir by Greg Foster.
Interesting.
And he's this controversial director who was once romantically involved with Rachel.
What's so interesting about this whole setup is that it drops us right into this world where personal ambition and family legacies are just completely wrapped up together. Harley is both drawn to and kind of repelled by Rachel's life. She sees the attraction of success, but also all the potential problems.
Totally. And the book plays with this idea of mirroring, too. Harley looks almost exactly like a younger Rachel, and that opens doors for her in her acting career. But it also makes it nearly impossible to escape her aunt's, like, shadow.
So, does that mean she can't truly create her own path when she's constantly being compared to someone who came before, especially in a family that's like so deep in the entertainment industry?
It really makes you think.
It does.
And then you bring in Greg Foster's memoir, which adds this whole other level of complexity. He was a big part of Rachel's life, and his story, at least how he tells it, is bound to impact her now. By getting involved in this film, Harley is basically stepping right into this minefield.
It becomes bigger than just a movie at that point. It's about finding the truth, or maybe just multiple versions of it. The novel uses parallel narratives, switching between what Harley is going through now and then flashbacks to Rachel's rise and fall in the 80s and 90s. We see how the past still shapes things today and how the choices Harley makes almost mirror some of the mistakes Rachel made earlier.
One of the things that really struck me was how guarded Rachel is, especially when Harley and Ann, her filmmaking partner, try to interview her for the film. It's like she's put up this huge wall to keep the past away.
And I think that guardedness speaks to what fame can cost someone. Rachel was super famous before social media, but even then, the scrutiny was intense.
It's true.
The book really shows how the media can twist stories and use personal things for profit.
There's this one scene where Harley visits Rachel at her big country estate. They end up playing tennis, but it feels so much less like a friendly match and way more like this power struggle.
Oh, I see.
Each shot is just loaded with all this unspoken tension.
That scene is perfect for showing their complicated dynamic. It's not just a simple aunt and niece thing. There's rivalry, resentment, maybe even a bit of fear all mixed in there. And it's through these, seemingly normal interactions that Devlin reveals the deeper emotional stuff going on.
Absolutely. And just when you think you're starting to get their relationship, this bombshell drops.
It happens.
Harley finds out that Greg was unfaithful to Rachel during their time together. It makes you question everything. Is his memoir even true? Why would Rachel be okay with his film if it means bringing up all these painful memories?
It makes you think about memoirs and biographies differently. Like, whose story are we actually getting? Who wins by telling it? And then there's this question of ethics with the whole adaptation process. Harley's facing this dilemma of how much of Rachel's life to show in the film, knowing it could hurt her even more. It's really interesting how the book contrasts Rachel's fame, before the internet, with what Harley's dealing with now, with the media and everything.
Yeah, does that make you wonder if the pressure is really different or if it's just like way bigger now because of social media?
That's a really good point. The main pressures are probably similar, right? Like needing to look a certain way, being afraid of what people think, always feeling watched. But social media definitely makes it all way more intense.
Rachel's story really shows that. Even without social media, the paparazzi were always after her. There were all these rumors and gossip all the time. Her big break, that British TV show, The Avenue, made her a star so fast. But it also put her in the spotlight in a way she clearly wasn't ready for.
And then you have a relationship with Greg Foster, which just adds fuel to the fire. He becomes this like Svengali figure, you know, super charming, but also manipulative. Their connection is so strong, driven by their creativity. But it's also about him wanting control and her needing his approval.
There are these scenes where he's directing her in Women Who Laugh at God, and he just pushes her so far emotionally. He demands this vulnerability from her that feels almost wrong, like he's taking advantage.
It's disturbing, for sure, but it also feels, unfortunately, kind of real. Devlin really captures how power can work between a director and an actor, especially when they're also in a romantic relationship.
It made me think of all those stories you hear about actresses being pressured to do things they don't want to, all for the sake of art. It's a tough line, and Greg definitely crosses it a lot.
And Rachel, being young and not as experienced in her career, is really open to his manipulation. She wants to make him happy, show what a good actress she is, but she also can tell that something isn't right about what he's asking.
The scene where he pushes her to do the nude scene is a perfect example. Mm-hmm. He makes it seem so important for the film, for her character, but you just know he's also enjoying making her feel uncomfortable.
It's such a key moment in the book because it changes their whole dynamic. Rachel agrees to it, but she feels violated, betrayed. And it sets off this chain of events that will really hurt her reputation and affect her life forever.
Yeah, the fallout from that scene is huge. Their affair comes out, and Rachel is made out to be the bad guy. She's called a homewrecker, a temptress, all those labels they use to put women down in Hollywood.
It shows that double standard, how the man usually comes out okay.
Exactly.
Greg, the older one with all the power, doesn't really get hurt, while Rachel takes most of the blame and the shame.
It makes you wonder, what would have happened if she said no to that scene? Would she have become as successful? Or would she have been shut out, labeled as difficult?
It's something that Rachel thinks about throughout the whole book. She regrets it, but she also knows she was in a system that was against her from the very start.
And that whole idea of exploitation and how power works in Hollywood is something Harley is also dealing with now. She loves the excitement of filmmaking, but she also sees the problems, especially for a young woman trying to make it on her own.
And don't forget, she's always being compared to Rachel.
Right.
Which just adds so much pressure. People want her to be just as talented, just as amazing, but they also put all their own ideas onto her, often without realizing it.
There's that scene at a party with Harley and her best friend, Julia, whose dad is like a famous filmmaker.
Oh, wow.
Julie just casually mentions she knows this big time producer. And you see Harley realize how different their worlds are.
It's a small moment, but it says a lot. Julia, just by being who she is, has access and connections that Harley can only dream of. It really shows how nepotism works in Hollywood and what it's like for people who don't have those advantages.
It makes you question if it's really about talent and hard work, or if it's about who you know, whose family you're from.
It's a big question that Devlin really gets into, and I think it's something a lot of people can relate to, whether they're in Hollywood or not. We all have to deal with systems that aren't fair, and it's frustrating when you feel like you're always hitting a wall.
Let's talk about motherhood, too. It's a theme that's throughout the whole book. Rachel's inability to have kids is really painful for her, and it's something she hides from everyone.
The book really digs into the pressure on women to be mothers.
It does.
People judge Rachel's career and her relationships based on this. Like, she's less of a person because she doesn't have children.
It feels like this deep wound for her, something she's never really dealt with. There are times when she's talking to Harley about ambition and what you have to give up, and you can hear the bitterness and regret in her voice.
One scene that sticks out to me is that dinner where Rachel tells Harley, "You shouldn't be always hungry. That's part of being an actress, staying hungry, metaphorically and literally." It seems like she's just talking about staying thin for roles, but there's more to it, about the choices she's made and what she's lost.
It's like she's putting all her unfulfilled desires onto Harley, warning her about what ambition can cost.
And it makes their relationship even more interesting because Harley is still figuring out what she wants, what she'll give up for her career. She's drawn to the same world that brought Rachel both success and pain, but she doesn't want to make the same mistakes.
And then there's Adam, Rachel's fiancé. He represents this whole other life, you know, stable, normal, no Hollywood drama.
Right.
But even that relationship is messed up by Rachel's past and her secrets.
Adam seems like a good guy, but he doesn't really get how complicated Rachel is emotionally. He wants to marry her, have a life with her, but he doesn't see the struggle she's going through or how much the past still affects her.
That scene where he proposes at the airport is just painful. Just as she's about to say yes, she sees Greg watching them.
Oh, no.
You can see her whole world just fall apart.
It's such a tense moment, and it really shows how the past can come back even when you try to move on.
Yeah.
Rachel obviously still has feelings for Greg, even though she knows how bad their relationship was.
And then Greg calls her right after Adam proposes.
Wow.
It throws her into this total panic. It's like a bomb is about to go off. You know something terrible is going to happen.
Yeah.
It really does feel like everything changes after that phone call.
Yeah.
It's like Rachel had this perfect life she built up, and then it all starts to fall apart. You see her fighting to keep her past from ruining her present.
It just shows you, no matter how hard you try to hide things, secrets always seem to come out when you least expect it. And for Rachel, those secrets could destroy everything.
Let's rewind a bit, back to when she and Greg first got together. There was definitely something there, a spark, right from the start. They meet on a film set, both in this creative world, and it's easy to see how they'd be attracted to each other.
Yeah, their early interactions are electric. He's totally into her, and she loves the attention. He sees something in her, this raw talent he wants to bring out.
There's a scene where he says she has this interesting quality. He's not just talking about looks. He sees something deeper in her, something that really intrigues him.
But that intrigue quickly turns into something more messy when they start their affair. It's passionate, all-consuming, but it's also built on lies and hiding.
Rachel is always worried about being caught, about what will happen if people find out. And that stress starts affecting her work, her confidence, everything.
Her diary entries from that time are so revealing. You see how torn she is. She wants Greg, but is terrified of what will happen if their affair comes out. She knows it's wrong, but she can't help herself.
It makes you wonder if she was truly in love with him, or if it was more about the attention he gave her, especially when she was feeling insecure about her career.
I think it was both. There was a real connection, this creative spark, but it was also a toxic relationship right from the beginning. His ego and her need for approval just fueled it.
And then casting her in Women Who Laugh at God just makes everything more intense. Work and personal life get all mixed up, and it gives him even more power over her.
That film becomes this battleground for their relationship. He pushes her so hard, demands so much emotion from her, that she's left feeling completely drained and exposed. And it all leads to that nude scene, which just becomes a symbol of how he took advantage of her and how she let him.
It's hard to read that scene and not be angry for Rachel. She's obviously not okay with it, but he wears her down, manipulates her into doing what he wants.
It's such a clear example of how people abuse power, especially in creative fields. He uses his position to pressure her into something she ends up regretting, and then he just dismisses her feelings and concerns, which makes it even worse.
The aftermath of that scene is brutal. The affair is exposed, and Rachel is labeled a homewrecker and a seductress. Her reputation is ruined, and she can barely find work.
It's a reminder of how fast public opinion can change, especially in Hollywood. One day you're on top, and the next you're nobody.
And it's interesting how the book shows the difference between what Rachel goes through and what happens to Greg. He basically walks away from the scandal while she gets all the blame and shame.
It shows how unfair things are for men and women. He can just say it was a mistake, but she's seen as damaged.
It's infuriating, but so true. We see it all the time. Powerful men do what they want and don't really face consequences, while women are left to deal with the mess.
And it's important to remember that Rachel isn't just a victim here. She makes choices that are both strong and self-destructive, like when she tries to blackmail Greg.
It's a desperate move, coming from her hurt and anger, but it doesn't work. It makes her look bad and reinforces this idea that she's just greedy and manipulative.
But it also shows her fighting back the only way she can. She's trying to take back some control in a situation where she feels completely powerless.
And then we learn she was pregnant with Greg's child. It changes everything.
It explains so much, her anxieties, her secrecy, everything. She's been holding on to this huge secret for years.
It explains why she's so afraid to talk about her past, why she keeps everyone at a distance. She's protecting herself and the memory of the baby she lost.
And it adds a whole new level to her relationship with Elizabeth. We find out Elizabeth knew about the pregnancy and helped keep it a secret. It brings them closer, but it also creates resentment and tension between them.
It's this ticking time bomb, and it finally explodes, leading to a betrayal that destroys their already fragile relationship.
I think that betrayal shows just how damaging secrets can be. They grow and poison everything around them.
The book leaves us with a lot of unanswered questions. Does Rachel ever find peace? Does she ever tell Greg about their child? Does she ever make things right with Elizabeth?
Devlin doesn't give us easy answers, which I like. Life is messy, relationships are hard, and the book reflects that.
It's a story that stays with you. It makes you think about the choices you make, the secrets you keep, and how your past shapes your present and future.
And it makes you feel for these characters even when they make bad decisions.
So, to everyone listening, if you're looking for a book that will challenge you, make you think, and stay with you long after you've finished it, definitely check out Born for This. You can find a link in the episode description. We want to know what you thought of the book and our discussion. What parts really stood out to you? What questions did it make you ask? Leave a comment below and be sure to like and subscribe for more deep dives. Thanks for joining us.